Well, good evening. That was a forceful good evening on my part and less than forceful in your response. Let us try again. Good evening.
Good evening.
See, I knew it. I knew you were powerful people of faith. I can just sense it in the room. This weekend's services and sessions have been going out on live stream, which is nothing new to you guys here, but there are people watching us out there, and some of them are from New Song Christian Fellowship Nashville, the church I lead. They're strange people. They like to look in, and none stranger than my lovely wife, who sent me a text, and she says, "Honey, I can see you. I would know that head anywhere." Okay, let me just tell you something. When somebody's identifying you by your head, that's not a compliment. "Oh, look at you. I'd know that face anywhere." No. "Oh, look at you, picture of hotness. I'd know that body anywhere." No. "You my man, baby. I see you looking all fine in the front row." No. "Honey, I see you. I would know that head anywhere." And then she wrote, "Get a stick and kill it before it multiplies." No, my wife. The only reason I can say that kind of stuff about my wife is that she's not here. she can't hurt me. And maybe she'll forget by the time I get home. No, the only reason I can say that about my wife is she's just as sweet as she can be. If you don't like me, that might be discernment. If you don't like my wife, you're infested with demons. And we can help you with that. My wife is really an evangelist, and she's all over our city. My wife is, she ministers in, she was in prison for 25 years, and then we met, and no, that's not true. She was in prison this morning, though. We have one of our congregations is at a maximum security women's prison. And then my wife also ministers to women in the adult entertainment industry, also known as strippers. And so, my joke with my wife is if I don't know where she is, she's either in a bar or behind bars. And she's just funny because she's known Jesus since she was 13. She has no past. She has no past. She's just sweet and clean and pure. I'm the only man in her life and have been for over 35 years. Thank you. Thank you. That's due to me that, we've been together that long. You don't know what she gets around those prisoners and boy, so she doesn't have, she's just clean. You get around my wife, she's got no guile. There's nothing up her sleeve. And so I go around the city and everybody's like, "Your wife is so awesome. Your wife is so great. Your wife, oh, I love your wife. I love your wife." So anyway, I have fun teasing her because I don't want her to get a big head. I don't want her to know how great she is because that could be trouble for everybody. But anyway, we've got some folks from our church who are looking in tonight and have been this weekend. If you weren't here for Dr. Michael Brown, you're going to hell. unless you respond to me well tonight. No, he was fantastic. It was so good. Oh my gosh. Earlier this year, the Lord gave me a word, and he said to me, in addition to all the people you're relating to, there's three men that I want you to spend some time with face-to-face, and they have some things to impart to you that are really going to help you, and you will have some things to give to them as well, mostly by reason of encouragement and support. One of those was Pastor Jack Hayford, who's my father in the faith. The second is Pastor Steve Abraham, who's a megachurch pastor in Oxnard, California, who does one church in multiple congregations like we do. and just they've just experienced tremendous growth and felt like I could really benefit from having time with him. And then the third was Dr. Michael Brown. And I'm like, wow, Lord, how am I going to get to Michael Brown? He is so unbelievably busy. But then I found out he was going to be here. And I'm like, wow, this is great. I can come and stay with Ben and Bridget Dixon and their family. I can come and see the Manginellis. I can come and see the Mill Creek family and enjoy this time together. And God has done all of that. Isn't it great the way the Lord does that? I just want to tell you something. Go where the relationships take you, and you'll never go far wrong if you go wrong at all. Go where the relationships take you. Just go where the relationships take you. Because there's always so much that God has, and now I feel like I at least have the beginnings of a future relationship with Dr. Brown. And he is such a courageous man. He's bold, he's clear, and he's compassionate. He loves people. I learned a lot just being around him. You know, he doesn't try to be controversial. It's just that Jesus is. The truth is controversial. But I need to be around people like that because I come from a long line of little Irish fighters. And I want to have the right kind of fight in me. I don't want to just be picking fights. But I do need to pick sides. And I want to be on the side of Jesus. And then let him give me the grace to deal with whatever comes. Tonight, as we wrap up this conference, Voice of Truth conference, I want to talk to you about having faith to face trials and tests in your life. Having faith to face trials and tests in your life. Go with me, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 1. I'm going to look at a few passages here in the time that I have. I'm going to move quickly, but I want to help strengthen your faith tonight. And I want your faith to rise to a level where you can face trials and tests and be victorious. I want you to triumph as you go through the difficulties in life. I want you to understand to a greater degree what it means to have an age and stage appropriate faith, level of faith. See, what God is doing is he's taking us from age and stage and from season to season in our lives. Like I see the youth here tonight. You're facing things in your young lives that I've already faced. If I was on your campus, which would look rather creepy, but if I was on your campus, I wouldn't be intimidated by anybody. I wouldn't be impressed by anybody. I wouldn't be afraid of anybody. I wouldn't be going, oh my gosh, look at him. He's so intimidating. I'd be like, what a doofus. His brain isn't even fully developed. You know, why does he look like that? You know, but when I was in high school, I needed a 16-year-old's faith. I needed a 17-year-old's faith. I'm 58 years old. A 16-year-old or 17-year-old's faith isn't going to do it for me, but it will do it for you. It will do it for you. And it's all relative. Whatever you feel in your heart about difficulties, I feel the same thing about the difficulties that I face. It's just a matter of degrees and scope and what you're facing. And I want you to know you don't need to have a 40-year-old's faith. You don't need to have the faith of someone who is a mother of three or a grandmother of 10. You don't need that right now. You need to have the faith that is appropriate for the age and stage that you're at for you to be optimally and maximally fruitful and victorious in your lives. God wants you to be overcomers. You want to be overcomers? God's going to give you the faith to do that. Pastor Chris has to have, and Pastor Ben, they have to have a different level of faith than they did when they first started. But sometimes what happens is we get stuck, and our faith doesn't grow because we don't pass the test and face the trials head on the way that we need to. But if we will, by God's grace, our faith will grow. And as our faith grows, we are better able then to believe God for greater and greater things in life. If that's encouraging to you, would you say amen? But we do have to face, and we're going to face things. And some of you are facing things in your life right now. There are trials and tests that are going on in your life. You know, I'm learning from people who are older than me. I don't have a wife who is physically ill. I don't have a wife who has any kind of disability. I don't have a wife who's at the end of her life. My wife doesn't have that with me, but we sure do know people who are helping us as they model for us how to walk through end-of-life issues. Do you know that before I've buried both of my moms. My mother-in-law, who was always mom to me, her name was Wanda. I never called her Wanda. She was always mom to me. My mom died a week after my mother-in-law died. My father-in-law passed back in 87. He really was my dad. And he was a funny guy, funny guy, a New York Italian guy who he just was funny, and he didn't have much of a filter. He knew Jesus, but he didn't have much of a filter. Anybody know somebody like that? If you don't, it's you. I don't know anybody like that. What are you talking about up there, a filter? What is a filter anyway? Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And he would be like, we moved him to Tennessee where we live. And he'd drive around, he goes, I love it here. It's wonderful. He goes, but here's my problem. He goes, can I talk to you for a second? He always wanted to sit down with me. Sit down, son-in-law, sit down right here. We'd have these talks, and some of them were really embarrassing. I won't even tell you about them. Some were deeply disturbing. I won't tell you about those either. But he would say, our community is being, there are a certain kind of people who are taking over our community. I go, what kind of people? And he goes, New Yorkers. I go, what do you mean? They're all coming down from up in the Northeast, and they're ruining our little community here. And I'm going, you're a New Yorker. He goes, not like them, I'm not. And I thought, so anyway, he was a great guy. He was a funny guy. I loved him. But as my parents got older, we were learning from people who had cared for aging parents. See, what God wants us to do is to help each other, as we partner together, to model what a next season could look like, where we can look. Where I could see people and go, look at the faith they're walking in, look at the endurance that they're walking in, look at the way they. That cannot be easy to care for that aging parent. But look at how spectacular they're doing that. I want to learn from that because I'm going to face that one day, and I want to face that with great grace. I had two elderly people living next door to me, and I watched the way they cared for each other, and I watched the way their lives became actually more textured and nuanced and wonderful. And I thought, wow, can I really do that? And the Lord said, you can, if you will learn from those who have gone before you, and if you'll face every trial and every test as I grow you up into the person that I am intending for you to be. See, there's a lot of Christians today who are trying to escape trials and trying to escape tests. People who are trying to avoid what is unavoidable. And because you're going to go through things. But the question is, do you come through on the other side with stronger faith and more endurance and with a greater capacity in Jesus to minister him to others? Or do you come through on the other side having not passed the test, weaker, maybe bitter and even angry at God? We have to choose. But what you can't do is to say, I'm not going to think about this principle. I'm going to find a way to get around this stuff. No, listen to me. When it comes to trials, when it comes to testings, the only way out is through. The only way out is through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the only way out is through. You have to go through it, but we can do it with joy. Here's what James says. He says, my brethren, verse 2, count it all joy. Count it all joy. It doesn't say count it all fun. Count it all fun. Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm so excited. I'm going through a trial. I'm going through a trial. My faith is being tested. My faith is being tested. It's like Disneyland a trial. Disneyland a trial. I can't choose. Dinner at a 5-star restaurant or a sickness? I don't know. It's so hard. What should I choose? So he doesn't say count it all fun, but he says count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing of a certainty that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. Its complete work is what it means in Greek. That you may be perfect, mature, and complete, lacking nothing. See, here's what the Lord wants for you youth. He wants you to be fully mature for your age and your stage. That's all He's asking of you, and no more. He wants you to be champions in an age and stage appropriate way. It's the same way with me. You know, when I started out, when I got married, I was learning how to be a husband. But I was hoping and believing that in the future I would eventually be a patriarch. And today I am. I got a lot of responsibilities. I don't have a lot of money, but I got a lot of responsibilities. I got a lot of little people, and not so little, who call me Papa. And I made a mistake. I started a tradition with the first grandchild. We have 6 of them. That I would give them things. And those little suckers pass that news on to the next ones. He gives things. I was at Seattle Bible College this week. And, man, what would happen if I was actually scheduled to speak here? I came here to be a part of a conference. And Brother Ben's got me speaking at the Bible College, speaking to the men, and now this morning I'm about to do my daily podcast, and it was about Paul saying to Timothy, you got to be ready in season and out of season to preach. I'm about to push record, and I hear Pastor Ben say, Pastor Dale, I think you're supposed to preach tonight. Bye. That's why I get to put it into practice right away. But man, I was telling this, the Bible College students, you know, I got the Papa Spa treatment at my house. My grandkids, yeah, you come. You just try coming to my house with some kind of kale or salad hanging out your mouth. I will smack that away. You don't bring no flax seed with you. Mm-mm. No, you at Papa's house now. And we're eating the food groups, pizza, ice cream, candy, popcorn, and soda. That's what you get at my house. I don't have to feed you healthy stuff. That ain't my job. I raise my kids. I know those kids. They're your parents. Let them make you little kale smoothies. I'm going to say to hell with kale. See what I did there? I didn't quite say that word. I just came right up. They were about to push the button, but they didn't have to. And you know what? What I feed my grandkids, I honestly don't eat. I have to eat kale. It says so on my AARP card. Man, when that sucker first came in the mail, I was like, oh, no, 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 you didn't just come up into my mailbox and bring me an old person car. I go out for a couple of years. I could get senior discounts, and I'd go to the movies. I would say, I'm paying for senior discount. I will kill you. I'm going to pay full price. What do I look like? A senior? Yeah, you kind of do. Been staying at the Dixon house, and man, I don't know, Judah Dixon. He just got something about how old I am. Watching him the other day so his mom could take Azariah, his sister, to dance. And he says, are you watching me? Like, my mom and dad are gone and you're watching me? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you're the oldest person to ever watch me. So what a great weekend. I'd know that head anywhere. You're the oldest person to ever watch me. He goes, most of the people who watch me are half your age. Well, now you got some experience. I actually know what to do in an emergency. And you're about to have one. Then I'm trying to be prophetic with him and encouraging. And I say to him, I said, you know why I want us to be good friends, Judah? He goes, why? I said, because when you grow up into being a man, I want to be there for you. I want to be a voice of encouragement. He goes, you'll be dead by then. I'd know that head anywhere. You're the oldest person that's ever watched me. You'll be dead by then. That's why I love coming to Mill Creek. I had to go walk 5 miles this afternoon just to make sure I was alive. I wore my walker out this afternoon. You needed this tonight, didn't you? You needed it. You got to be careful, though, with that laugh, because your head's going to explode. There's going to be cerebral matter everywhere. You got to be so careful. See, with great power comes great responsibility. I can't have people's heads blowing up. So God wants us to be complete and lacking in nothing. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to you. Every new season and every new stage and every new trial and every new test that you go through requires greater wisdom. It's something that you haven't faced before, or maybe you faced it before, but maybe not in this measure. See, the Lord wants us to be victorious. The Lord wants us to triumph. But we don't, our mentality is not a triumphalism that somehow we just mow everything down. No, there's going to be resistance. Sometimes with the devil, you resist, he insists, you have to persist. You resist, he insists, and you have to persist. But we're going to gain the victory. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give to you liberally, and really it means without mocking you. The word in Greek means like school kids mocking each other on the playground. God won't mock you, like, well, you don't know this. No, he doesn't do that. He says, I'll meet you right where you are. But let him ask in faith. See, when he says, count it joy, those words count it mean consider, evaluate, deem it to be joy. Deem it to be joy, to recognize on the other side of this trial and test, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a stronger person. One of the people watching here on live stream tonight is the man that I train with in the gym. And we've been training together about nine years now. And I never say no to anything he asks me to do, ever. Why? Because I know he's got my best interest at heart. I know he's got my best interest at heart. And he said, I can make you unusually strong for someone your age. You know, I am the age I am. And you can write that down because that's really deep. And so are you. Aren't you glad you came? But you know, I see people sometimes in the gym, and they're like, oh, I hate that so much. Nice attitude. That's really gonna get you where you want. Oh, my gosh. You know, people go around the gym and go, hey, how we doing? You know, getting by. And, you know, but that's how some people live their lives in the Lord. What's going on? Oh, my gosh. My life is, you can't believe what's going on. You know, and I understand that. We have those moments, but don't make that a lifestyle. If we will say yes to things that will make us stronger, that's what we'll get, is stronger. You know, we were with Dr. Michael Brown. He lost 95 pounds in 7.5 months on a new eating program, an exercise program he was on. And you know what he says? I've never felt this good in my entire life. Nobody, after having embraced the pain of a good process that leads to a good product, says, oh, I wish I could go back. I wish I had that 95 pounds back on me. I wish I was getting sick all the time. And I want to tell you, if you will face the things that the Lord is calling you to face, he'll get you to the other side of that trial. He'll get you to the other side of that trial. A trial, though, the word trial means a trouble, a disturbance, something that disrupts the normal pattern of things. So often it's something unexpected, and it's difficult. And the testing, the revealing and proving what really is, don't be afraid for God to test your faith. He'll show you where it is. In some ways, you'll be pleased and go, wow, I'm trusting God maybe even more than I thought I was. But he will reveal how far you need to go in increasing your faith so that you can go forward in the future. He doesn't do that to hurt you. He does that to help you and to heal you. He does that to equip you. He does that to give you what it is that you need to be complete and lacking in nothing in this particular season of life. You don't go through a trial and a test and then you never go through one again. No, God is changing us from glory to glory. And what does the Bible say about Jesus if we're being conformed into his image? That he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Don't be afraid of the word suffering. Don't be afraid of those things. God is with you. God is with you, and he'll never leave you. He won't abandon you, and he has your growth and development. And don't get stuck on this life. This life, as much as anything else, or maybe more than anything else, is about what one man called training for reigning. We are developing in this life to rule and reign with Christ in the life to come. Don't see your destiny like that. See it like that. Because it'll change things. Realize the number one reason we are here is the Great Commission. We're here to lead lost people to faith in Christ and help them to become mature disciples. We are, as Rainer Bonnke says, we are plundering hell and populating heaven. That's job one for us. Thank God for the laughter and the celebrations. I love celebrations. I love to have fun with God's people. But job one for us is that we are Jesus in the earth. That we're Jesus in the earth and that we're growing to be more and more like him. Amen? So the testing reveals things, but God is working us towards patience, endurance, perseverance, and increased capacity spiritually, mentally, that we would be spiritually mature and that we would have a deeper communion and intimacy with Christ, that we would be complete, every part of our life being whole and integrous, and that we would have wisdom, skillful strategy for standing in strength as God increases our faith. And our faith, as much as anything else, is a complete confidence in the sovereign power and infinite goodness of God. It gives us the ability to hope for what we don't yet possess and to see what we don't yet see. God wants us to be people of faith. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark. I want to show you an example, Mark chapter 4, an example of what Jesus is wanting to do in giving us faith to face trials and tests in our life, faith to face the storms in our lives. Jesus, watch this in verse 35 of chapter 4. Watch what Jesus says here. Pay really close attention to this. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Let us cross over to the other side. Now you'll notice, Jesus didn't say, "Let us cross over and die a horrible death in the middle of the Sea of Galilee." He didn't say, "Let us cross over and perish along the way. Let us cross over and never make it to the other side, but disappear, never to be heard from." He didn't say any of that. So faith's perspective says, if Jesus says we're going to the other side, that's where we're going. On the other side of the Sea of Galilee was a date with destiny to deliver a man sorely afflicted by the demonic and to grow and develop. But watch what happens, and we can, our perspective can change. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, these fishing boats, even today, these shallow fishing boats, people drown every year in the Sea of Galilee, even in our modern day. These squalls will come up on the Sea of Galilee, or it's a lake, a freshwater lake, really, and it'll swamp boats, and they will sink, and people are just too far from shore to get back. So these are real today, and even more so in this day. And so the storm rises, the waves beat into the boat, and it was already filling, but he, meaning Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Master, we stand in faith in the midst of this storm, for you, O Lord, first of all said we're going to the other side, and now we see you exercising the kind of peace that we should be walking in. We come into agreement with you, Lord. We walk in faith, O Lord, and we declare we will be delivered by your great power and make it to the other side. Hip, hip, hooray!" That's what Jewish fishermen say. No, here's what they say. And they awoke him. They shake him. And Jesus is in a deep sleep. See, Jesus doesn't have any problems. He only has plans. He's never not at peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is in a deep sleep. And so they wake him up and they say to him, "Teacher, do you not care? Do you not care?" Now, don't lie to God and say that some of you haven't said that. "Do you care about me at all, God? I'm dying here." They said, "We're perishing. Lord, help. Help, please." These are men, but they sound like girls. "Help us." That's Peter going, "Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me!" There's no L in that word. "Help me, Lord! You gotta help me!" You got a Jewish fisherman, and the brother has gone in the hood. "Help me, Lord!" And so the Lord, watch what he does. He arose and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, "Peace! Be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Listen, I know you were afraid. And, you know, I know you're just broken Galileans. You're on a journey. And little by little, you're..." Now, that's how we tend to talk. Jesus loves people too much. He has great compassion for these men, but they've seen a lot. They've seen a lot that he, and so here's what he says to them. He says to them, "Why are you fearful?" That seems like a crazy question. What do you mean, why are we fearful? Our boat is sinking. My bank account is empty. The doctor told me I don't have long to live. What do you mean, why am I fearful? The Lord says, why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, it's the Son of God. I'm going to tell you something simple. Man, when Jesus is in your boat, you don't have anything to be afraid of. When Jesus says, let's go to the other side, and he says, I'm in. I'm with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of this trial. I'm with you always, even to the other side here. We can trust Jesus, can't we? Now, thank God. You know, these men are living with him every day, and he's helping them along the way, but the Lord is not afraid, because he loves us, to confront us about not having faith in one who has been infinitely faithful to us. We've had to do that with our own kids, haven't we? Hey, listen, did Daddy say that this is what we were going to do? Yeah, then you trust me. Do I always keep my word with you? Yeah, but, no, but. If I told you that we're going there, then we're going there. If I said we're going to Grandma and Grandpa's house, that's where we're going. You just be at peace. We have to do that with our kids. God the Father does that with us. Have I ever broken my word to you? No, God. Lord Jesus says, have I ever not been there for you? No, Lord. Then be at peace and walk in faith. See, we got to help each other, don't we? Man, compassion is absolutely necessary. But boy, if we leave each other, I've come here tonight to bring you a word to stir you and strengthen you. I want to help you move beyond where you are to where God wants you to be. Because I don't love you? No, because I do. Because I do. And so their perspective was they were sinking. Jesus' perspective was we're on a mission. They were facing a storm, a literal storm. There was peril there. They were facing something that they thought they could not withstand. But the X factor, the Jesus factor, changed everything and changes everything for you and for me. When we are walking with Jesus, then whatever it is we're facing, we are well able. Sometimes people are learning how to evangelize and they say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Let's go with Jesus. Let's go together and let's go with Jesus. The Lord's with us. The Lord's with us. Sometimes we're facing a financial challenge, a physical challenge, a relational challenge. James says, count it all joy when you go through difficulties, knowing that there is a divine destiny that you have from God that will get you through to the other side better, and that God will reward you with the crown of life. That's what James says. The crown of life, and the crown of life isn't just about what we will receive at the Bema Seat of Christ. The crown of life is about rich blessings from the Lord in this life, especially a deeper revelation of who he is and a deeper intimacy with him and a greater experience of what we said we wanted, and that was his presence. Are you with me? We're going to go through trials that test our faith. Let it come. Now they know. Now the disciples know. Wow. We had no faith. He wasn't saying they didn't have faith for anything. He said, in this situation, you have no faith. You have no faith. I've known people who have had faith in other areas, but, you know, they come up against something. You know, they have faith for finances, but not faith for God to heal people. And so the Lord isn't saying to you, you don't have any faith anywhere. He's saying, in this situation, why is it you have no faith? Why is it you have no faith for your marriage? That may be in a very, very difficult place. Why is it that you have no faith that you can make it through this very difficult educational program that you're in? Why is it that you have no faith for your finances, but you have faith that if you pray for someone that God would send friends into their life, you absolutely believe that because God is a God of community, that he's going to bring friends into their life. But God's not only a God of community, God is a God of prosperity, God's a God of provision. What God wants us to walk in is faith in every area of our life. But he knows we've got to grow into it. He knows that we are being, Dr. Brown said, you know, that salvation happens instantaneously, but sanctification is something we're growing into. We're becoming holier and holier people, but we're also becoming people who understand what it is to grow in our faith. We are people that God is saying to us, face whatever storm is in front of you. Face whatever difficulty. I'm with you. I'm going to bring you to the other side. I'm going to ask Pastor Ben to come and just tag that and help lead us in a response. I really believe that tonight, God wants you to make a step. There's a move that you need to make in saying yes to the Lord. Yes to the Lord. As we start to bring this time to a close, that you would say, yes, I want to tell you, I am committed to being a man of ever-increasing faith, and I want you to be that as well. Pastor Ben, would you come?
Amen. Why don't you thank Pastor Dale with me real quick? Amen. Sherry, if you would come, we're going to bring our service to a close. I'm so grateful for Dr. Brown and for Pastor Dale being with us this weekend, just receiving such rich words from Scripture and from what God's given them for us. I want to receive well. Don't you want to receive well? Not just kind of, oh, that was okay. We come here tonight to open our hearts, to open our minds, and say, God, I want to receive well from what you're doing. And that's what I encourage you to do. As we gather together, it's a special thing what we're doing. It's been a special weekend. And I just really, one of the things that I believe the Lord is doing, especially in the message that's been shared tonight, is that as he talked about Mark chapter 4, him and I had talked earlier, but he was going to share on this. And on Friday night, the Lord really gave me the same exact scripture. In a vision, I mean, it's in the Word, but in a vision, I saw this scripture sort of play out in my mind. And I sensed the Lord say this, and I want you to open your heart to this word, and that is, there are storms that are coming that we don't yet have the faith for. There are storms that are coming that we don't yet have the faith for. Some of these Jewish Galileans that Pastor Dale spoke about, they were experienced fishermen. They had seen storms before, but this was a storm that they had not experienced. It was a storm that caused them to feel like they were going to die. All of us are going to experience some storms, but there are storms that are coming in our life that we need to be equipped for. We need to be prepared for. It's not a day to cast it off. Oh, that won't happen to me. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. And we will get sideswiped if we're not prepared and if we're not equipped. And something that I was thinking about while Dale was speaking was that we've got to learn to receive well. When the word is open, we've got to say, God, I may have read this before. I may have known that before. I may have said that before. But I want to receive something from you as we're gathered together, opening your word here right now. And I want to challenge you that if your heart's in a stagnant place, that's not a place that any of us want to be. We cannot afford to be self-deceived in the hour in which we're living, thinking things about where we are or what we are that are not true. The Lord's calling us out, and He's calling us up. Right. He's calling us out, and He's calling us up for a new day. We need more than we have right now, and it only comes from one place. It only comes from one person. Whatever we have, whatever we've had, whatever we've experienced, we need more. We need more. Don't trust in what you've had. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in what you think you know. Trust in the Lord. That's a good word. You can smile. Some of you need to. Tree full of owls. Come on now, somebody. The Lord is strengthening us, right? Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, right? Don't be strong in anything else but the Lord. The day and age in which we're living, this is exactly what we need. It's the reason why we did a conference called The Voice of Truth, is because truth is the anchor, right, that will hold us to the ground that we're on when the storms come. That our ship, that our life will not be wrecked, that it will not be taken out to sea. We will hold our ground if we know the truth, if we know the truth. It's a time to dig deep. Receive that charge tonight. Receive that deeply as we come to the Lord humbly. Will you stand and pray with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your truth. And we just join, our hearts with the Psalms of King David, where he said, your truth is what leads me. Your truth. Not our opinions, not our thoughts, not what we think, but your truth is what leads us from where we are to where we want to go. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that you would move us to a place where we are absolutely fixed and focused on you, what you're saying, what you've said, what you're doing, and what you have, what you would have for our life to be about. We pray for that tonight, God. We thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Father, it shows us where we are. It shows us where we're going and what you would have for us. We want to bring your name glory, and I pray, God, that you would strengthen every person that's here tonight, that you would strengthen every home, that you would strengthen us in your word, that you would strengthen us in your truth, and that we would not just leave this building just encouraged, but we would leave stronger than we were, better prepared, hungry for you and your presence, hungry for your word, trusting in you, knowing that whatever comes, whatever storm is coming, we can have the faith that we need in the midst of that storm, because we're drawing it from you. You're the one that's the giver of all good gifts. And so we ask of you for wisdom. We ask of you for greater faith for the season that's ahead. And we're not, Lord, we're not prideful thinking that, oh, we'll just be fine when it comes. No, we're pressing in now. We're persisting now. We're asking now. Prepare us, Lord, that we would stand in the days that are coming. Father, I pray over parents tonight, moms and dads. Father, that they would be strong for their kids, not just for their own lives, but also for their children. That as our children look towards us, they would see us standing strong in you, true to your word, faithful to what you say, pressing in, praying, hungering after you. That we would be a model and an example, one that is tested, tried, and true, and that our kids can trust that mom and dad, they're really loving God. They're really going after God. Father, we ask for young marrieds in this room tonight that you would bind them together. Bring them together, God. We thank you for oneness, the vision of marriage. Bring them together for your holy purposes. Those that are single, those that are younger here tonight, we pray, Lord, strengthen them in purity. Their mind, God, give them an attitude, a heart that is fixed on you and prepared for the battle. Warriors that would arise, Lord, holy warriors. That we do not fight flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers in this dark world, advancing in your kingdom with the light of God. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your wisdom and your revelation. That we would not just have knowledge or information, but we would have comprehension and we would have wisdom, knowing how to apply these things and to walk out of here as your man and as your woman. We thank you.